Hi everyone, welcome to How Can I Heal podcast with Krina Okumus. This is an interview series with people that I admire and really made a change in my life. We are exploring questions about life, dreams, how can I be more happy and healthy, and learn how can we deal with pressure or challenges in the private or professional life. I really hope you take a nugget of wisdom or two and you are improving your own life for the better. I'm super happy to let you know that on today's podcast, I took advantage of Valentine's Day and convinced my husband to finally join this interview. The reason that it was not so easy is that he is intensive private with his life, but let's say that Valentine's Day was a good and smart point to convince him to join. Let me tell you a little bit more about Marcus. He is a serial entrepreneur turned investor for more than 20 years. He has vast experience operating businesses in multiple industries and 12 plus markets, as well as leading a team of 1,000 people. Marcus has built and sold several companies, including Exits to Axel Springer and Naspers. With a keen eye for emerging innovations and their impact on society, Marcus was able to repeatedly anticipate multiple trends. Today, one of the topics that I'm developing with Marcus is how he sees the future of health, as it's the industry that he's investing now. And what I really love is how he integrated his personal life, his personal challenges into related to health, and how he's integrating that, developing as a passion, and help others.
Sleep is, I just talked to Neurohacker James, one of our investments or portfolio companies, amazing guy, amazing company. And I talked to him just this week, actually, and we talked about how you strengthen the immune system. And he mentioned that in his view, it's really sleep, an optimal sleep. And when you look to numbers again, about 20-25% have challenges to sleep, triggered by different factors, maybe too much blue light before you go to bed, too much excitement, stress, not enough movement, like different factors. And sleep is so crucial, because it's the recovery, it's basically the opposite of activity. And if you cannot recover enough, everybody knows how it feels when you wake up and you didn't have enough sleep. And when you look to top athletes, for example, LeBron James, he basically takes his 24-hour day and he first plans his sleep in that 24 hours.
And now let's get to my conversation with the amazing Marcus Okumus. Welcome, dear Marcus. I'm so excited to finally have you on the show.
Thank you for having me, Krina. Really excited.
So take us back to the beginning. How do you got where you are today?
I have to keep it short, I suppose.
Yeah, ideally.
So I was born and raised in a little village outside of Zurich in Switzerland. Pretty easy childhood, playing a lot in the nature, a lot of forest around. So doing what kids are doing. And then started school. I was not really into school at all in my young years. And then on a certain moment, the interest got me, which when I was about 16, 17. By that time, I already started my first company. I had all the time an interest in entrepreneurship, and then I started to go to the university, build my first venture, sold my first venture, build an.
Yeah, I ask you to be very fast, but let's just, it's so easy to say, yeah, I just made my first company and then I sold my first company. So for the ones that they are listening, and luckily I know a little bit more and I will try to help you, because I know that you're really humble with your experience. You basically build a social network for students before Facebook in Switzerland.
Yeah, that is true. You know, during the first dot-com boom in 1999, my business partner at that time, and Jan, he's still my business partner today, we were both studying, and we just discovered this thing called internet. And we were studying and realized, hey, would it not be much more efficient and convenient to have all the information about the study online, that you could find tickets, jobs, and so on online. This was just, you know, the logical step, and we started to build it. And we didn't thought of, like, you know, to scale it big time. We just started in Switzerland, and it happened that corporates reached out to us and said, hey guys, we love what you're doing, and can we publish some ads on your site? And this is how it all grew. And then some other guys joined, and we grew a team of up to 50 people who were contributing through that on that website, on that platform.
So you said that you were a student. So how old, like 18, 19 years old, you had the first, you started the first company, right?
I was about 16 or 17.
Ah, 16 or 17.
Yeah, when I started okay. first.
And when did you sell it? And you sold it to
So this was another venture, but the students, students.ch, we sold it, I think, end of 2006, when I'm not mistaken.
So this, you were like how old? I'm asking you this because basically coming from a little village from Switzerland, when your father wanted to make a serious career becoming creating furniture, right? He was not understanding what is actually internet and why you are losing so much time. And at the age of 20 something, you were
29,
making the first millions.
Yeah. So I think, you know, my father... my parents never could really get what I'm doing on the laptop all the time, and they all the time, especially my father, said he was a mechanical engineer, and the other time said you have to do something which is tangible with your hands, which you can see, and for me this whole digital opportunities were just so excited and exciting. So yeah, this is how I grew and how we built the company. And then 2009 we sold the business
to a big group, actually.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest publishers globally, certainly one of the biggest in Europe, called Axel Springer.
And the beauty part of it is that the business is still ongoing and it's existing.
Yeah,
and I think it's really beautiful. I think that for the ones that they are entrepreneurs and they are doing their first exit, what's next? Probably it's even much more challenging than building the first company. So how come you arrive to the next one? So first it was more social network, and then you enter to what industry?
So yeah, I think the first one in my case was just very natural. We just build what we thought we didn't give too much thought by building the platform. And then, you know, the exit as well, like, just happened somehow. And then when we, my partner and I, we were working for different companies in consulting. My partner worked at Hewlett-Packard at that time. And then we looked into different opportunities. We just scanned different business models, checked different business opportunities. And I think we did this for a couple of months until we saw the opportunity in the eastern part of Europe, which we just could see that, you know, everything would happen in US was, you know, was going swapping over to Europe, and then a little bit later to the eastern part of Europe. So we could see lots of opportunities in these emerging markets, and we basically started a couple of projects. Today you would call it company building. Back then, you know, we didn't have a term for that. We started different projects, and eventually, coming back to your question, fashion was the category we got the biggest traction, and we shut down all the other projects and really focused on building a fashion company. fashion so e-commerce company.
You changed the industry, you went and the market, actually. You went in the fashion industry and you built Fashion Days. For some of my followers that they are following from eastern part of Europe, probably they know the company. And you know, I was so surprised when I was in Romania and I watched a TV commercial TV about Nivea, which is such a huge brand. And at the end of the commercial, I could hear Fashion Days recommends Nivea. But let's start from the beginning with this one, shortly, if it's possible. So you enter in fashion industry. I suppose you didn't know so much about it.
No.
And you didn't know so much about the countries that you were starting the business. Do you call it luck? Or how would you call it? Because it's another success, and I let you to continue, but it's another impressive success that you are building.
Yeah, I think there were two ingredients. One was I built a company before, which was giving me the confidence to know how to build a company. On the other side, I was very convinced that whatever we do, sooner or later, we're going to have success with it. Which was a strong trigger. On the other side, we had no understanding of the market, no understanding of the industry, which you can say it's a bit crazy on one side. On the other side, I think if I would have known everything from the beginning...
You will not start
no.
it.
and especially, you know, when you were in the market, we are hiring people, we talk to some potential partners in those markets, that just told us... This is never going to work. This is, you don't understand the culture, the country, which was true to a certain extent. We had to learn it over time. But, this unknown and this confidence that we are just, making it happen somehow was basically the two probably main ingredients. And I would also say right timing. Luck is all the time a part of it. I mean, with the wrong timing, you cannot do anything.
So it's called Fashion Days. You sold in eight different markets.
Yeah, I think we started the company 2019, I think, and we grew pretty fast to almost 1,000 employees, I think, in 3 or 4 years, operating in 8 countries in the European Union. Everything from the Baltics to Bulgaria.
Each country, different language.
Each country, different language, different currencies. So it was a lot of work. And at the end, I think we shipped about 15 to 20,000 parcels a day in all these countries. We had roughly about 10 million customers. So it was quite a ride.
And I remember because we actually started this journey a little bit together and I can give a little bit more insights. And I remember I was one of the persons that I said, I don't believe in the business.
That's true.
We met in a job interview and my first things, it's not so smart to do that, but somehow it was working at the end of the day. But I remember at the end of the day, you started as an outlet. And I remember when we were going together to fairs, trying to convince different big brands to sell their stock on Fashion Days. Nobody wanted to work with us, with you, with Fashion Days. And it was so crazy because after that, if you look to the portfolio, all the big brands, they were eager to sell there because of the volume that you could really create in a single day.
Yeah, I think the interesting part for a lot of brands was that we were basically collecting all these small, relatively small markets. And we were basically, if they were partnering with us, they could sell in all those markets. So this was, at the end of the day, a gateway for them to access those markets because distribution was not that strong at that time. There were just a few distributors and they were emerging markets. So it happened that if the local distributor did a very good job, you had a very strong brand. For example, Calvin Klein was very strong in one market, but then on the other market, almost non-existent. So it was very fragmented at that early days. I'm sure today this is different, but at that time, it was still early days.
And not only that it was a successful business, but you built a very beautiful community inside in the fashion days with the beautiful values that you were really guided. There were three, right?
Yes.
Do you remember them?
Of course.
Tell me.
So it was honest, reliable, happy.
And you were all the time sticking to them. And this is something that I was like, wow. All the time when you try to take a decision, right? You had to go through.
I mean, the idea was that we had so many different cultures, languages, you know, countries with heavy history, you know, in communism and so on. So we realized that, and English was just like our company language, but we had to make sure that it's super simple. And we talked to some, you know, top managers from big corporates, and he basically, when we talked with him, and he said, like, listen, guys, I have implemented lots of corporate values or company values. Nothing has ever worked except one thing, when it was super simple. And then we were taking that, and we started to work around three words. And honest, reliable, happy was something which was relevant for our business. So honesty, especially in those markets, there was a lot of corruption. So we, you know, really, we are like, you know, Swiss DNA. So we really want to do everything proper. So honesty was a very important one. Reliable, we were doing e-commerce. So we wanted to stick to promises, what we told our customers, that we really fulfilled what we promised them. And then happy, which is, you know, at the end of the day, we're selling fashion. We made customers happy. And, you know, in the company itself, happiness is a choice, obviously a very important factor. So, and we really forced employees to use these values in their email footers. So even each email they send out, and sometimes partners came back and said, hey, what is that honest, reliable, happy? And they were kind of forced of talking about the values. And we had a lot of other ways how we implemented these values in the company.
And after how many years you sold, you when you had your exit for this company?
I think we sold it after 3 or 4 years.
Okay, which is impressive.
Yeah, we had an incredible fast growth. I think we grew on the first day, we had a sale of like 30,000 euros and we were sure, you know, we're onto something, and then we just grew incredibly fast. But we also realized by growing even further, we need a strategic partner, because e-commerce at that time, even today, but at the time, it was very capital intense. People were not paying with credit cards in those markets. So we had to basically pre-finance.
Cash and delivery.
Yes. So, you know, there were certain challenges, and we realized that with a big partner, you know, it was much easier to operate in the economy of scale. So we sold the company to Naspers, which is a giant in the whole internet world. And they basically invested and acquired a lot of companies in Central Eastern Europe, including us. And then we stayed there to integrate the business for about 3 years.
And what was happened after that?
So after that, you know, we left the company, which was an interesting experience after you have built it. Like, it's
from 1,000 people to zero people from one day to another, basically.
Yeah, kind of. But it was fine too. At the end of the day, it was our decision to move on, because, you know, within Naspers, then things got more, had more corporate structures, and we love to build companies from ground up. And then in my case, I had a health issue. So, you know, due to not enough sleep, wrong diet, not enough exercise, sitting the whole day, traveling all the time. So
the reality is that one big situation was the tragic accident of my father. And
yeah,
probably
on
just
top of
seeing,
that. On top of
seeing
that.
Me very down and taking everything. I know you sometimes don't want to share this, but I think we are all going through that. And I think you are really such an inspiration for so many people, how you are just making it again. And I think it's important to mention that. So basically everything came together and you had a healthy problem with your back.
Yeah, I had herniated disc and couldn't walk for 2 weeks.
Couldn't sleep.
Which was a very painful experience. And obviously this was a trigger point for me that I cannot continue like that with the same lifestyle. And the crazy part was I was talking to so many doctors at that time. And the bandwidth was, you know, like one doctor told me, you don't have anything. So this was on the left side of the spectrum. And on the right side, it was like, you have to do an immediately surgery tomorrow. So this was the range. And what struck me, or what was an eye-opener for me, was like, you know, how as a consumer or as a person, can you even navigate and deal with such information, which is so, which are so different. It was a hard journey to figure out what I have to change, how I have to do diet, starting to do meditate, yoga, you know, to really find my new lifestyle based on a lot of reading, a lot of research. And I feel, you know, amazing today.
And you moved to San Francisco and a new
Yes, then
story
I moved to San Francisco. So yeah, a new story began. I moved to San Francisco. So this health industry was really a topic. I wanted to also do something for the in a professional life. And my business partner stayed in Europe. I moved to San Francisco, or we moved to San Francisco, to just scan and see what is on the market, how the markets are working, what is different, what works in Europe, what works in the US, how are regulatory in that space, how is the level of entrepreneurs, and so on and so forth. And we started to invest in companies in preventive health, did a lot of research, and yeah, it was learned a lot in the last years, and it was quite a journey.
I'm very curious to tell us a little bit more about the preventive health and how you see the future. But before that, what I'm really surprised, I mean, sometimes I'm wondering how you are doing it, but I'm still trying to find the formula. Maybe you can share it today with us. You made it again. You sold another company.
Yes.
In the health industry in US this time. So three different stories in three different industries and three different countries. Tell us a little bit about the last success that you had.
So the last success we had was...
Which is not the last, actually. The newest one, let's say.
Exactly, yeah. The newest one is it's a company called Base in the personalized nutrition space, which is something... Yeah, we maybe can dig into this a little bit later on. And we helped this company to launch in the US market. It's a Berlin and Boston-based company. It was... an incredible journey, and Base got acquired end of last year by Nature's Way. Nature's Way is one of the top three supplement manufacturers in the US.
Congratulations, it's really impressive.
Thank you.
It's really, really impressive. I'm very curious about one top. I mean, I have so many curiosities and I take advantage of the maximum of having you now because I'm doing the post-production after that. So I make sure that I don't cut anything. So first of all, you mentioned your business partner a few times into our interview until now, Jan. And I want to know, what is the secret of such a long partnership? Because you met, like you are... doing business together for more than 20 years.
Yes.
What is the secret of having this? I'm sure that Jan will listen too. So take care.
So I think first of all, I would say, yeah, there are a few factors. One is the respect of each other. I think really knowing, you know, what a partner is capable of, and respecting in good and challenging times. I think this is one factor. Another factor is, you know, the perspective or the willingness to learn and to grow together. I think, you know, it would not have been possible. I mean, it's naturally, we basically had the same interest all the time, also with building those
and
businesses.
And you grew.
We grew
together,
of
which I think it's such an important topic.
And I think we're very self-aware what we are good in and, you know, where we need support. And it's just an incredible partnership, which is unbelievable that we do business together for 20 years. And we had so many funny, happy moments, but we also had challenging times. And, you know, even in those times, to support each other and here for each other. So it's, an incredible experience working so long with a partner.
Yeah, it's really impressive. And I really hope you will continue like that because you are building beautiful projects together. I want to ask you, for my followers, our friends that they are listening now, part of them, they are entrepreneurs. What will be an advice that you will give to someone that is maybe at the beginning of building a project or let's say in the middle of it? What will be an advice that you will share, which maybe will be even an advice that you receive that somehow you're using it even now?
Whew, I think one advice is hard.
Okay, two or three, you can choose. Help us a little bit.
You know, I think there are several factors when you build a business. I think, as I mentioned earlier, like, you know, oftentimes, and, you know, when you come from the product angle, a lot of entrepreneurs think, including myself, or I was thinking, you know, if you have a brilliant product, the product is going to sell itself. However, I do believe that the product is just like one third of the success. The other part is leadership. So, and you know this, they're natural leaders out in the world who can convince people, employees. I think this is a very important skill to convince talented and, you know, very skilled people to join them early days. And then grow with them and leading them on the way while you scale your business. So there are like a lot of different elements, I think, into that. And I think the third factor is the market. So I think if there is no market dynamic, I don't know, like in, you know, crypto or like transportation, for example, or sustainability these days, if this is not a global movement, it's very hard to change something if you have just like an individual or a startup or a venture, a small business. So I think there are different ingredients which are required if you really want to scale a business.
Marcus, tell me honest, who is your hero?
You, of course.
Except me, no. Is it someone that you admire?
I don't think I have like one person I admire. For sure, I'm listening a lot. I had all the time, I would say I have like specific people or entrepreneurs or philosophers in mind which are relevant for me right now. As you know, I feel this is a field of interest, and then I'm reading and I'm digging and I find this kind of people, and then I read their books or dig into it, and then I would say, you know, after a couple of months, you got the idea, you got the takeaway, and then you move on. And this is constantly changing. I think you can learn from an athlete, which is doing an incredible achievement. I love to see, you know, there was just a, you know, sale competition around the globe, for example. Incredible what these guys are doing. And when you follow their story, this is very, very inspiring. And, you know, then when you see, or climbers, when you see what these guys are doing and you look to your challenge, it just looks very small and ridiculous if you complain about a problem.
But the reality is that on a daily basis, there are challenges. Yes. And you know, like, especially when you build companies or when you have a new project, one day is like, yay, I did it, I conquered the world. And the next day is like, oh, what I'm doing, I have to change it. And I'm sure that some of you guys that you are listening now, for sure you can understand that. How do you keep yourself motivated?
I mean, I think this, you know, we call it roller coaster feeling. I think this is happen, I would say, in every young company. it's just these ups and downs, and to keep you motivated, I think it's very, for us, what was all the time very important is really to have a mission and strive to that mission. I think, you know, we call it North Star. So why you're doing what you're doing. And sometimes when you're stuck in a certain problem and then you step back and then you realize why I'm doing what I'm doing and where you want to go, then you realize that maybe the challenge you have right now is very small compared to the outcome when you achieve something bigger. What is the impact of that? So I think change of perspective is really helpful. And then, you know, just like, you know, doing sport, balance your life, having a balanced lifestyle is definitely helping to deal with anxiety, stress, and so on.
Can you tell us, because you mentioned, you start to mention a little bit about how is a day looking for you? Like, what are the, you mentioned sport, you mentioned meditation before, what are the things that you are doing during the day that gives you more energy, even you became more productive? I don't know, you can even tell us like what you are doing on a daily basis that is really helping you to be more productive.
I think certainly sport is a very key part.
Are you doing everyday sport?
I do everyday sport, yes. I love swimming, for example. I even swim now with minus temperatures in the lake, which is an incredible experience. So I think things which are just changing perspective, you know, if you do sport, if you run, I mean, if you play, if you do yoga, whatever it is, it just changes perspective and changes your energy. And I think this is an important part. And then, you know, I would say every day looks a little bit different. For sure, now I have a lot of calls, you know, probably like everyone, to connect. I love to connect with people. I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs. I talk to investors. I talk to researchers to see what is going on in the market. I love that. And then it's also part where you just have, you know, to execute, building concepts, reviewing business plans, writing emails. I would say this is the big part of my day, calls, research, reading.
How important is food in your life, in your daily life?
I think food is a very, very important topic in general, but also in my daily life. I try to stick to a healthy diet, which is not always easy, I would say also.
What means healthy diet for you?
Healthy diet for me means pretty much plant-based. No lactose, no gluten. I try to avoid sugar, which is a very hard thing to do. Drinking a lot of water, but pretty much plant-based diet, and, you know, like just eating by seasonality. I think this is an important factor. Just, you know, have variety in food.
So, because I don't want to let our listeners too much, tell us, what are you doing now? We speak about health. You're continuing with the health, or you want to change the industry again?
I think I stick to health. Health is for me such a big topic. I think it's the healthcare industry is one of the last industries which is really shaking up in the next 20, 30 years.
How you call it the healthcare now? The healthcare industry.
So we talk about the healthcare system we have today. We call it a sick care system, and we call it like this because only if something has happened, like for example my back, then I enter the system and it's getting cut or treated, or you know, I take medication and then I leave the system again. And as soon as I leave the system again, nobody cares of me, what kind of lifestyle I have, how I eat, and so on. So we really want to drive this shift from sick care to a healthcare system, because the full attention, and we see this in Asia or Far East, this is basically the doctors focus on keeping you healthy. And this should be the main focus in the Western healthcare system as well.
And do you want to invest in the health system, or you want to build a new company?
So we are investing in that space. So we have a fund which is investing in companies in the US and in Europe, and also in Israel and other markets, in companies which are on the forefront from preventive health, which contain basically four parts. One is sleep, one is nutrition, in particular personalized nutrition, one is activity, and one is mental well-being. And when we look to the world today, about every second person has sooner or later chronic disease. And studies show that when you keep these four elements in balance, which I mentioned, sleep, personalized or nutrition, mental well-being, activity, you can actually reduce the risk of getting a chronic disease by below 20%, which is tremendous. So if you live a healthy lifestyle, and we believe that the end consumer is the driving force, the empowerment of the end consumer. We don't think it's the industry. We don't think it's regulation or the government. It's really about, we want to give the health back to the end consumer, that they can control their health with the support of innovation, research and technology.
Can you tell us a little bit about some new companies that you are looking into health?
Yes.
Can you share some more information?
I think one exciting space we see right now is continuous glucose monitoring. This is something which is basically, you know, diabetes 2 in particular is a big problem, you know, in the whole world, especially in US. It's about 13% of the whole health costs are triggered by diabetes, which is a tremendous amount. In other markets, a little bit less, but it's still a big topic. And sugar consumption, when you think of it, when you look to the numbers or the recommendations of the WHO, how much sugar we should consume on a daily basis, it's roughly about 30 grams a day. Most of the Western markets are way above 100 grams a day, so more than triple, quadruple the amount of what is suggested by the WHO. And even hidden sugars, which you don't even see in milk, in yogurt, in sauce, and all kind of stuff. And this is obviously triggering overweight and diabetes. Diabetes is on the rise like never before. Imagine that first time in history, human beings die because of overweight, overeating. Never happened in the past. It's incredible. And coming back to continuous glucose monitoring, is basically a chip. I'm wearing it right now, which you can wear in your arm. It's made for people who suffer of diabetes to just scan with their phone in real time what is the glucose levels. And based on the glucose levels, you can inject insulin. We believe this is supposed to be a tool for people, for everyone. So it's not only for people who already suffer from diabetes, it's more like in the prevention space, like pre-diabetes, or a lot of companies we were looking into, they focus on athletes. So how can athletes, when they run a marathon or a triathlon or a big have a big competition, in real time measure their glucose levels and just take the right food, what you need in that very moment, which is very different. So for example, if you eat a pizza or I eat a pizza, you know, our glucose levels spike very different. So it's very personal. We believe just continuous monitoring in general of inflammation, of glucose levels, of all other things are super crucial when it comes to health.
So this is basically a device that is measuring the sugar, because I had another podcast episode with Dr. Molly Malouf, and she mentioned as well. I invite you to my listeners if they want to even listen this part. Basically it's a device who is measuring the sugar level, and like this you can personalize even more to understand when the sugar is spiking, when
exactly.
The glucose basically.
So you can basically have a chart, and you see in real time, like a stock market chart, you can basically see how your glucose level is moving, and you can see, you know, when it spikes, how you recover, how you react to certain foods.
So if it's spiking, how you recover? What you are doing if it's spiking? Okay, you stop eating, but is it something else that you can do?
I mean, by nature, you know, what happens is that, you know, you insulin is getting pumped in your body. So this is how you you know, bring down the glucose level. You can do sport, which is helping. In my case, this is definitely something. If I move after eating, this is bring my glucose level.
So a few minutes of sport after eating something that is spiking your glucose will help.
It's helping, you know. It's like walking or running or jogging or whatever you can do, so to just activate your system. But there is a lot of philosophy in that. But it's definitely an exciting topic. Another thing we see as a very important factor, and you see it also during COVID or the pandemic, is we call it healthy communities. Or smart community, healthy smart community. So we know that, and also different studies from Deloitte, for example, show that the outcome, if you're getting sick or that you get sick, is just very related of where you grew up, in what environment you're in, what is your education level, you know, where you're located in the world. So this has a very strong impact on your health. And we see that, you know, this communities really support and help each other. So you know, if somebody has a strong illness, besides the treatment or the medical treatment, it's very important what is nutrition, but also what is the social environment, what is the support, what is the mental support a person like this is getting. And this is something which is so relevant for the outcome. And even pharma, they build and move into that because they are aware that these surrounding elements are so crucial for the outcome of a treatment.
But do you realize that this is actually exactly what we are not doing now during the whole Corona situation, that we actually don't have a community, maybe virtual, but we don't have so much a community that they can really support us?
Yeah, I mean, of course, but you know, it can be virtual. I think it was even before virtual as well, with websites like Patients Like Me, or you know, you can really exchange when you're in a certain situation. I think it's a very important factor. I don't think you know, for sure, you know, in face-to-face would be better, but I think the digital layer is works very well here as well, in that case.
What other examples, like for example, you mentioned sleep and you mentioned mental health. Can you tell us more, something a little bit more about these two topics?
Yeah, so sleep is you know, I just talked to Neurohacker James, one of our investments, our portfolio companies, amazing guy, amazing company. And I talked to him just this week, actually, and we talked about how you strengthen the immune system. And he mentioned that in his view, it's really sleep, an optimal sleep. And when you look to numbers again, about 20-25% have, you know, challenges to sleep. You know, triggered by different factors, maybe too much blue light before you go to bed, too much excitement, stress, you know, not enough movement, like different factors. And sleep is so crucial because it's you know, the recovery. It's basically the opposite of activity. And if you cannot recover enough, everybody knows how it feels when you wake up and you didn't have enough sleep. And when you look to top athletes, for example, LeBron James, he basically takes his 24-hour day and he first plans his sleep in that 24 hours. So, and then everything else is built around the sleep. So this shows, I mean, obviously on that level, how important is sleep. And I think he sleeps about 12 hours a day, if I'm not mistaken, because he has so much you know, activity, you know, that he needs time to recover. And I think a lot of top athletes are probably doing the same.
Do you have some other devices that they are measuring sleep?
Yeah, I think what is an amazing device when it comes to sleep is Oura Ring, which I'm using regularly. It's an amazing device because it's a little ring which you wear either during the day, but I just wear it during the night. It's not like a watch or something, so it's a very light sensor, and it measures just you know, what is your heart rate? What is your heart rate variability? What is your temperature? How much deep sleep you had? How much REM sleep you have or you had last night? And you really get insights about sleep, and you start to learn. Depends on how you feel. You wake up in the morning, you look to the numbers, and you start to realize, oh, I think I don't feel that well because I didn't have enough deep sleep. So I can really see, and it helps me to learn how I can optimize my sleep. Amazing tool.
Okay, tell me a little bit about mental health. I know this is a very big topic.
Yeah, mental health is a very big topic. I think, again, I believe, or, you know, statistics show very triggered as well due to the pandemic. You know, everything within anxiety, loneliness, you know, for different target audiences. I think it's just an incredible important topic. Social environment is very crucial for mental well-being. We have actually also an investment in that space for mental well-being for teenagers. It's called Daybreak, and especially for teenagers in the US, this is a US-based company in San Francisco. They have even trouble to get access to treatments, so it takes them about 2 months to get an appointment, which is then about 2 hours away. So telehealth is definitely something which is a, you know, great movement that you just have by pushing a button access to treatments. But I think it's a very complex topic. You know, it's just so wide. You know, you can have so many different subcategories when it comes to mental well-being. But I do believe, you know, our society is so challenged with everything what is going on, politics, sustainability, or, you know, the sustainability, digitalization, technology, everything is so fast paced, and now we sit in front of the computer all day long, and I think alone, or 60% in cities are sitting alone in their apartment, not having human interaction, which is so important for us. So this is triggering a lot of things, and then there are other factors, like for kids, but also for adults. We miss milestones now during pandemic. So for example, if you have a graduation right now, which you don't have it, or you just have it digital, which it's not an embodied, or you cannot feel the experience. And when you look back to your life, you all the time remember, okay, then we got married, and then we graduated, and so on. These are very important milestones in everybody's life. And, you know, they're just vanished. And I think this is very challenging for a lot of young people. And we still don't know what will be the outcome, but, you know, telehealth or mental well-being companies, they're having very strong traction around the globe. And this is a topic which is here to stay.
Marcus, how do you see the future of health?
How I wish to see it, or it depends on how many years out?
Based on all the studies that you are reading and the people that you are meeting, I mean, of course, we can use our imagination, but I'm actually looking for a much more practical answers from your side based on your knowledge.
I think if we look 10 years out, then we see that everything what is prevention, digital health, is the fast growing. These are the fast growing categories. The traditional healthcare system, the care part, is decreasing over the next years. Medication is staying more or less the same as it is today. So what we see in the upcoming years, it's clear and also accelerated due to the pandemic. Technology will play a big role. No surprise, you can do much more from the comfort of your home. Why should you go to a pharmacy at all? You have a camera, you can take a picture of if you have a rash, or you can talk to a doctor online. You can test at home, blood sampling, gut, all kind of different tests from the comfort of your home. Much more convenient, much faster. You get medication shipped to your home. So it's similar to other industries. I mean, today you don't go to a bank anymore. Why should you go to a bank? bank. So the same will happen in the health industry, unless really something, you know, serious, severe is happening. So this is very clear trends towards prevention, towards monitoring much better, you know, on a day-to-day basis. Then when we look a little bit further out, it's clear that I think the role of the doctor is going to change. I would say the doctor is more getting, will become a coach rather than, you know, his opinion, giving his opinion. So we will have artificial intelligence who is basically checking your data, your test, and then based on your results, they scan thousands of latest research from universities, from all kind of research, and then give like two or three treatment possibilities. And then the doctor comes in and says, okay, probably in your case, A is better than B or C. So I think machine learning, AI will play a big, big role in that category, just because of the power of the engine. And then when we look a little bit further out, and this is, you know, where we want to go, is our dream is really having a world free of disease, which, you know, is a big, very big goal. But this is what we work towards. And we believe that the human being health is a public, should supposed to be a public good, so that every person has access to health. And if you're living proper health, you can live a more fulfilling life, a more joyful life. And I think this is the holy grail, but we are very, we know that this is a long way.
Yeah, let's see. I'm very curious. How long do you think that you will wait more until you will build a new next business? Are you planning to build a new business? Or you don't want to share with me?
I mean, you know, we are, for now, we are investing in companies. Eventually, we come along, you know, building or being more active in a certain company. We just love being, you know, surrounded by entrepreneurs, being investors. It's very tight together, and we definitely do what is needed to drive the change from sick care to healthcare.
Tell me, what is the most fulfilling aspect of your life or moment of your life?
Like in a particular one or in general or?
Yeah, like the most fulfilling aspect moment in your life.
I would say I love to create. Creation is a very important topic. It was always in my life, and creation has so many different aspects. So you can, you know, create a toy or create a design, or you can create a company. So by building different pieces together, it's playing Lego at the end of the day. This is, you know, also when I talk to entrepreneurs looking to their business and say like, hey, you know, I did this once, maybe this could be an angle. I just had a conversation like this, just coming in and giving different insights. So everything about creation, I think. And then it's about learning. Learning from other people, talking to a lot of exciting people, researchers, which I, you know, can really learn a lot from. I'm not a specialist at all. I'm just, you know, very interested and learn from so many different people, and this is just very fulfilling, and you can personally grow by just being surrounded by these inspiring people.
More question for you, and I like all the time at the end of the interview to give kind of advice / exercise / challenge to our listeners. If it will be an advice or a challenge for my listeners, what will be that?
An advice in what sense?
Any sense.
Any sense. Okay.
You just choose one.
I think my advice would be just do stuff. So just try out things. Don't overthinking it. Just try out new things. If you have a feeling of trying this or that, just do it. See how it feels. If it feels good, stick to it. And if not, just try something else. So just trying and learning new things, this is incredible. And on the other side, I think, you know, looking to my daughter, which is 7, how she's exploring the world, how she's seeing the world, it's just a big inspiration, you know, looking from a different perspective.
Thank you very much for joining today. And I hope we can meet again when we can learn more about health and hopefully not only. Thank you so much, Markus.
Thank you for having me, Kena.
Wow, what a conversation. Thank you very much, dear Markus, for all your sharings. I wish you all the best to all your projects. And I can't wait to hear more soon about all the new projects that you are investing or building. For more inspiring interviews, head it over on Spotify, Google Podcast, iTunes, or wherever you are listening now. I have more surprises coming soon. If you like today's show, please share it with your friends, family, or community. I'm Krina, and you've been listening to the podcast How Can I Heal with Krina Okumus.